Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The national championship is on Monday. JP and I will not be on air, so this is our last chance to talk about it. And we're going to do something big here. Welcoming on college football analyst Danny Cannell on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
And Danny's coming on courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for a plethora of college football playoff final game lines plus opening odds for the 2026 college football playoff.
Danny, welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing?
I am fantastic. Great to be on with you guys. A little bittersweet. The college football season drawing to a close, which always makes me a little bit sad. But I think we got a pretty good matchup Monday night.
Yeah, it's interesting. Ohio State fans feeling very confident in this matchup. They should. They're about almost 10-point favorites. I'm curious, how serious of a chance do you give Notre Dame to take this game?
It's college football, so like I give them a pretty good chance, but there's very clearly a reason why Ohio State is the favorite, right? They have, like I've done all week on my radio show, like we've analyzed every position group that's out there, and almost every one you would give the edge to Ohio State. Maybe the secondary you'd give the edge to Notre Dame, but everywhere else, receiver, running back, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, I think you give the edge to Ohio State. Like, so it does make sense there, but like, it's college football. And like, we've seen teams be very volatile this season, including Ohio State, right? It wasn't that long ago that they were playing Michigan as almost a 3-touchdown favorite, and they just kind of laid an egg. But I do feel like that's what it would probably take for Notre Dame to pull off the upset, is really for Ohio State to like screw this up and to not have a great game and to like turn the ball over, which Notre Dame will try to do. They'll try to force turnovers. They'll try to force the issue. But I do think that's what would have to happen. I mean, I do think Ohio State, if they play clean, if they play the way they're capable of and make good decisions, I think they should win this game. But I do think Notre Dame can make it close.
Well, if you've done the positional matchups, I'm curious, did you do the coaching matchup? Like, who's got the advantage there between Ryan Day and Marcus Freeman?
Oh, man, that's a good one. So we went more into the coordinators, which, again, they're really good matchups. Like within the game, and like when I look at Chip Kelly versus Al Golden, the two coordinators, Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator for Ohio State, versus Al Golden, the Notre Dame defensive coordinator, that to me is the matchup of the game. And again, like, where's the significant edge? There's a lot of very, very close ones. Like the player ones, I think, are pretty easy. The coaching matchups, I think, are more significant and a little bit tougher. But like, as far as the head coaches, I mean, I think you have to go with Ryan Day. And it's, as much as I like Marcus Freeman, and I know Ryan Day has taken a lot of heat, he's been in more of these situations. And I know, you know, a Ryan Day critic will say, well, he hasn't won many of these. Well, neither has Marcus Freeman. And again, Marcus Freeman lost a game that was probably way worse as a 4-touchdown favorite at home against Northern Illinois. But I think it has to go to Ryan Day, just a slight edge, even though they're both kind of, they're at different points in their career, and Marcus Freeman is the up-and-comer. He's the hot name that's getting a lot of NFL love right now. That was Ryan Day a few years ago, right? I mean, he was in that same position. So I think it's pretty close, but I'll give the slight edge to Ryan Day because he's been in more of these games.
Danny, one of the talking points about this game is that, you know, it's neither of these teams would have been in this position if not for the expanded playoffs. Do you think that in the eyes of some college fans, this will cheapen the title that you know, traditionally, not even last year, neither one of these teams would have been in the Final Four, ergo it's a kind of new era?
I love it, because anybody that says they shouldn't be in this game, look at the gauntlet both of these teams just ran through, right? I mean, for Ohio State, for what they did, Tennessee, a team from the SEC who they housed, Oregon, the number one team in the country, who they housed, and then Texas in Dallas, you know, at the Cotton Bowl, to beat them the way they did. And I know it was a close game, but that was more than a worthy opponent. Like, I'm okay with giving a team a pass for one bad game. Like, it happens. And we see that happen all the time in the NFL. And I think this is more a truer test because we have more teams that are in that get the opportunity. But then the gauntlet that you have to run through to win the national championship, I think it's a better way to determine the national champion. And I don't think it diminished the regular season. There were several teams who had bad losses, like Alabama, who lost to Vanderbilt, like Ole Miss, who lost to Kentucky. But it wasn't just one or two. It was three. It was their third loss. And so I do think the regular season still penalizes you, and I think they still value that. And tell me Ohio State fans don't – it doesn't crush them that they lost to Michigan, right? Those losses in the regular season still hurt. So I don't think it's diminished anything. I think it's made things more entertaining and a more creditable, worthy champion, the team that's the last one standing.
Danny, Will Howard spent yesterday telling everyone that nobody wants to give him any credit, and he loves that, though. He's like, keep it coming, but nobody wants to give me any credit. Do you feel like he's not getting enough credit?
I feel like he is now, but through the majority of the season, probably not. And, you know, it was interesting because I liked him when he was at Kansas State. He won a Big 12 championship. I thought he was a really good, like, really good skill set, and I thought he was going to be a really good fit for Chip Kelly. But I think, but my one question was, how would he handle the pressure of being the Ohio State QB? Like, it is a unique animal that there's probably only a couple other schools that you can even relate that to, with the amount of pressure. Like, in the first couple games that you win, but man, you had a couple incompletes and an interception. What was wrong with you? You know, like, and they're holding you up to guys like CJ Stroud and Justin Fields who put up phenomenal numbers, where it's almost like you can never keep everybody happy. There's that expectation unless you win a national championship. And throughout the season, like, it did look like Will Howard was a part of the problem in some of their losses, right? He comes up, you know, slides just a second too late against Oregon. Even though he went toe-to-toe with Dillon Gabriel and played just as good as him, it kind of felt like his fault. And so I was very curious to see how he'd rebound, and he did. He goes to Penn State, starts the game early with a pick six, rebounds. Against Michigan, he has two interceptions, probably his worst game. What does he do? He rebounds and plays close to flawless in the playoffs. So I think he has been kind of underappreciated by everyone, national media and even Ohio State fans. And I think he's realizing, you know what, the best way to silence him is to win the national championship, which it looks like he's on the verge of as long as he takes care of business. But he's been phenomenal. Like, statistically, he's been off the charts. But I don't think he's been given the credit that he probably deserves.
Danny Cannell on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
And Danny is brought to you by our friends over there at Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for a plethora of college football playoff final game lines plus opening odds for the 2026 college football playoff.
Danny, Texas did something that I didn't know was possible, and that was slow down Jeremiah Smith. Is Notre Dame equipped to slow down Jeremiah Swift the way Texas certainly did for a good deal of that game?
Yes, but they can't be stubborn, and I'll explain, because what Texas did was play more of a bend-don't-break. They limited the man-to-man opportunities. They played more zone coverage, and they kept safety help over the top. Notre Dame plays more man-to-man coverage on defense than anybody in the country. Like, they trust their DBs and safeties to go one-on-one with the best talent in the country. If they do that, if I'm watching the game and I see them lined up in man-to-man coverage as much as they do, I will probably live bet Ohio State, because you might have great talent, but Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Buka and Carnell Tate, and then you can put the running backs out there too. Like, it's just a mismatch. It doesn't matter how good you are. So that, to me, will determine the fate of this game, because, like you mentioned, Texas did show you a game plan. You don't have to get toasted by Jeremiah Smith, but you do have to dedicate coverage to him, and you have to dedicate attention to him. And if you do that, you force him to get patient. You force Will Howard not to, you know, force the football to him, and you kind of make Ohio State do something they don't want to do, which is drive the ball more methodically down the field. Because as a quarterback, trust me, if you have a player like Jeremiah Smith, you see man-to-man coverage, you are absolutely licking your chops saying, let's dial up our big plays, let's take some shots down the field. I trust my guy's going to make a play or nobody else. So I will and that's the matchup everyone's going to be watching, is what does Notre Dame's secondary do with Jeremiah Smith? And I think you'll get an early indication early on of what Al Golden's game plan is going to be.
Danny, going up against the NFL is not smart on Saturday or Sunday, but do you feel like the game should be tonight instead of Monday?
I'm kind of like I've been lulled into this because, you know, since this playoff, even the 14 playoff has been around. It's been on this Monday night, so I've kind of gotten used to it. You know, we do see Monday night football. Last week we had a Monday night playoff game. But, yeah, in a perfect world, I wish we played it on a Saturday night, you know, like, and, like, figure it out. Like, in a perfect, perfect world, I would say the season finishes on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, right? I mean, that's kind of what I grew up with. I think that was the golden era of college football, was when you had bowl games that led up and the culmination was a massive holiday and you had multiple games New Year's Eve and on New Year's Day, like I said. And the Rose Bowl would probably be the national championship every single year in Pasadena. But as we've seen, networks get in the way, bowls get in the way, you know, expanded seasons, more games get in the way. But I've gotten kind of used to it on Mondays. But actually, I tell you, I didn't hate the Thursday, Friday. I know they didn't rate as well, but I kind of liked that weekend, the setup of Thursday night, Friday night, semifinal games, and then wild card football all weekend long. I thought that was pretty amazing, even though the NFL laid some complete duds. Mm-hmm. I loved it from the perspective of, like, if we got good games, that weekend could be really special.
Danny, one of my great annoyances with our radio brethren is boiling everything down to, did it have good ratings or not? And right. That said, the playoff ratings have not kind of been what they hoped. Certainly, even in the Cotton Bowl, that's an elite matchup. So I'm just curious whether you think that whether you have any working theory on whether that's schedule, whether that's just how they fell, or if you really kind of have any idea kind of why maybe this didn't pop the way maybe college football had hoped.
Oh, I think it's very much about the Thursday-Friday aspect of it. You know, it's just there's a lot of stuff people have going on. I even think this year in itself, with Christmas and New Year's falling midweek, Wednesday, Thursday, I think that kind of threw everybody for a loop. But I do think sports fans are programmed to weekend. And then even if you're watching every sport on the weekend, let's say you're watching NFL on the weekend like they are this weekend, you'll get the promo for the Monday night game. So you'll be, oh, yeah, that's right, that game is on. Where if you're not really paying attention, if you're going to work every day and you're coming home and you're sitting in front of your couch, you might forget there's a game on Thursday night if you're just a casual. So I do think it was about that. And then I also do think, you know, there were some brands that were left out, which I'm actually loving the fact that we got some fresh blood in there. But and we had monster brands in the semifinal. But I do think without Alabama in there, which has been, you know, the team that people get used to seeing, I do think some of that took away from it. But I think primarily it was about the Thursday, Friday night aspect of it.
Do you like the Ryan Day, Lou Holtz feud?
It's kind of weird, right? Like, it's kind of interesting that Ryan Day, for his nemesis, has picked an 88-year-old former coach who's retired, who doesn't really do a lot in media, except when he's trolling Ryan Day. It's kind of funny. I'm here for it because it gives us a lot to talk about, but it is just one of those bizarre ones that doesn't make sense. And then I was trying to decipher who was tweeting for Lou Holtz because that response, it was kind of odd. Like, was that Lou typing it into his phone saying he's going to be there, but now he's dragging his body along with his spirit? Like, there was just some odd, there was some oddness to it. So I guess I kind of like it, but even though it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Danny,
like, I missed the Ryan Day, Jim Harbaugh made way more sense. And that one, like, I was here for. That felt like bad blood. And I like Ryan Day, I don't think he loves Lou Holtz. I think Lou Holtz is just loving it because it puts his name back in the landscape.
So we had this debate earlier with another guest talking about this. I have said I think it's if Lou Holtz stepped out a line with me, I think it's if you don't yell back at him, you're being an ageist. If Lou Holtz went after you, would you go back at him or would you just let him have a pass?
Oh, so I don't know if you guys know this, but Lou Holtz is a member at Augusta National, and that is one of my dreams in life, and one of my goals is to actually be able to play there. And I almost, when he was at ESPN, I almost got invited into a foursome. I was like the odd man out at the last minute. So I'm still holding out hope. So I would just do whatever he said. I would bow down to him. I wouldn't acknowledge it. I'd just be like, you're right, coach. When are we going to play Augusta?
That's worth the
trip. That would be my response.
Yeah, that's worth the trip. Instead, you just be friends with Condoleezza Rice. It's okay.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Also, that plays until like the 16th hole and you shake something or you shank something and Lou starts teasing you. I'm going to tell you, Danny, you snap real quick, 88 years old or not.
Now, Danny, once you're on the course, then it turns into Bob Barker and Adam Sandler and Happy Gilmore. Then everything
exactly.
goes.
Exactly. Once I'm out there, it's all bets are off the table. I can say whatever I want because that'll probably be the last time I'd ever get to play. So you're right. Then the trash talk would be opened up for sure.
Danny, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the little bit of college football we have left.
And have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. Danny Cannell there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
And Danny, courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for a plethora of college football playoff final game lines plus opening odds for the 2026 college football playoff.
In case we missed it, wraps up the show at about 6:43 on 92.3 The Fan.